Hi there, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center at the front door with the doors now wide open. Come on in. We've got plenty of room to our friends around the country and around the world talking about rebuilding trust in marriage. If marriage trust or trust in marriage gets broken, it's not a pretty sight. And maybe you've experienced it. Infidelity or lack of trust in a spouse because they're just not a trustworthy person. What do you do? What do you do to rebuild trust in your marriage? Can you rebuild trust in your marriage? The lines are already jammed because this is a big topic and unfortunately has touched many marriages. I mean, all of us at some point or another have to wrestle with this area of trust. Can I trust my spouse or am I a trustworthy person? But sometimes it gets to be a very pervasive, serious problem that can permeate the very fabric of a marriage. And you know, it used to be in a time in past generations where if there was a lack of trust, the marriage bond was built around, you know, institutions and expectations and culture, and people would just frankly tolerate it. If there was unfaithfulness, people just tolerate it. I mean, it just happened. People would be frustrated, just happened. It was just not the cultural norm to say, I'm divorcing you and I'm out of here. Today, unfortunately, in my opinion, we've swung to the other extreme where it seems like for people just waking up in the morning and saying, I didn't like my breakfast, I'm out of here, almost. And we know that God has a plan and a system and an ideal and an intention for your marriage. And so today, when we're talking about trust, this is a big thing. I mean, if you're not a trustworthy person, sir or ma'am, in your marriage, you basically have said, I don't really care if my marriage survives or not. I really don't care. Because long-term, or even short-term, this could blow up in your face. And I think we all sort of intuitively know if you want to have a relationship with another person in marriage, a trust has got to be sort of foundational. Doesn't mean you don't fail. Doesn't mean there's not grace and forgiveness. There ought to be those things. And some of you will give testimony of that fact today. Please, I understand that. But this is an important topic. And if you're on, I'm thinking of those on the verge today who are ready to step into a corner of your life and your mind and your behavior, which is very untrustworthy in your marriage, you're playing with fire. Is it worth it? Are you ready to pay the consequences? Because there are. 888-888-1717.
I'm calling to offer a bit of an experience that I had. My wife and I got divorced about 7-8 years ago, and there was no infidelity. There was a number of problems, no one person at fault. During that period of time, I had did some soul searching, got into the Word, and it was very clear to me that there was no grounds for this divorce. I committed myself to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I want this opportunity and this whole process to glorify you. And I focused on my relationship with God, asked on a daily basis for the Father to send His Holy Spirit to minister to my wife. We were obedient to the Father, worked on our individual concerns, and were together.
There you go. Very good. You know, there's an old saying that says, you can fool me once, it's, kind of shame on you, but fool me twice, and it's shame on me, right? And I think and we got calls already indicating this, it's this repetitive behavior or what have you in a marriage that goes on and on and on, and yet we know that Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7, which is a lot of times, 490, and I don't think it was a matter of even counting 490, right? It's just a matter of understanding that there's a dance that goes on that says you will fail me and I need to forgive, and that goes on in marriage, and it's this continual understanding of this dynamic in every case is different. How do you deal with this? I do know this. I wrote in the book Starve for Affection. Let me say this about the book Starve for Affection. I put one chapter in this book that I think it's probably sold more copies of the book than anything. It's overcoming roadblocks through what I call active respect. And I lay out very clearly in that chapter, how in the world do you actively respect your spouse enough in a marriage to hold them accountable? Because there are a lot of grace and there's a lot of forgiveness, but there's also consequences for crummy behavior. See? And that's true in the Christian community as well. The good news is, when God saves us from the sinful life we have, all those consequences for eternity are resolved. See, we're with Him for eternity. But the earthly consequences are still there. If you've blown it your whole life and been a financial poor steward and you ask God for forgiveness, you're going to still have consequences. That's true of health and other things as well. But the ultimate consequences of God's love rescues us. That's the good news. But we still have to be intentional. And so my message today is, please, sir, ma'am, you're ready on the verge of doing something stupid in your marriage. Don't do it. I'm one on the wall top here yelling to you from the top of the wall, don't do it for your own sake. Don't do it. Okay? Okay, Nina's on the line with with her own story. Nina, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there. How do you relate to this today?
Excuse me?
How do you relate to this topic today, Nina?
Oh, I see. About 45 years ago, my husband and I were married. We were together for 7 years, split up for 7 years, divorced the whole nine yards. And then about 35 years ago, we went through counseling, and I thought the Lord was going to be dealing with him. I mean, we all know he had issues, right? There was infidelity, drugs, just about everything you can imagine. And, of course, the Lord had a big work to do in me as well. And as I was going through the counseling, I wanted him to be saved. I didn't want to get back together. There was no trust there. I didn't think there ever could be. And going through it, I really became even more and more confused because my husband wanted to get back together. And one day I was really crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, how can I ever trust him again? And other people say this happens to them. It doesn't happen to me very much, but it certainly seemed like the Lord audibly spoke to me and said, do you trust me? And I gulped and I said, yes, Lord, but and in the middle of my butt, I was dumbstruck, and I realized that the Lord was saying to me that I had to put my husband in his hands. And so I said, okay, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. We got remarried.
Wow.
And we've been together 30 years now, and he's got the same name, but he's a totally different man.
Yeah.
And I think I am too. And I want to tell other people that you can trust the Lord and not have to worry about that other person. They're going to fail you at times. And we've still been, you know, through a certain amount of struggles since then, but nothing like it's been so revolutionary and so different. I'm still to this day blown away.
You know, and I think, Nina, for the Christian, you know, here we're a Christian community here listening to this and participating in this discussion. And so we have a spiritual dynamic. If this was just an earthly, world-focused, temporal discussion, you'd say, well, what do you trust God for what? I mean, but we trust God, but at the same time, and I hear the message, he's a new creation. He became a new person. And I think when as Christians, we need to approach this thing of how do we rebuild trust to say, yes, I got to put my spouse into God's hands. I expect God to do a work in their lives, but there are still consequences and there's still boundaries that have to be put into place. I talk about it in terms of active respect. And in fact, let me just read just a little bit from the book. I said on page 131 that active respect shows a person that we love and respect him enough or her enough to hold them accountable for their behavior through natural and logical consequences. And I go on to talk about what those are and how that works by understanding that it's okay. Man, in fact, it's encouraged that we go through a process of reconciliation, of restoration, and forgiveness, and people heal and restore, but there are going to be consequences in that process, which can be good. It can be a good part of rebuilding a marriage. Okay, thank you, Nina. More calls in a moment.
Hi, Hi, my name's Chantel, and my comment is on living intentionally and having it not work out as you expected. I've been married to a man now for 5.5 years, and we went through the church and committed to God, and only to have him then turn and have an affair. I keep trying to be intentional about loving and forgiving, so that's my experience.
All right, let's get back to calls here. I'm sure many relate. Terry is on the line. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, it's about trust. I've been married for 30-some years, and at first my husband had an issue. He was addicted to cocaine, and he has been clean from that for, gosh, a good 15 years or more.
Good.
And so, and he changed, and it's extremely proud of him. But in the background, there's always been this issue of pornography, where I find, I go on the computer, and then there's some sort of glitch, and I find out from the history that it's because of between him going, when he goes on the computer and he's looking up his hobbies, that he's looking at pornography. Mm-hmm. And I have confronted him with it, and he always says, oh, no, it wasn't me. But now that our children are all gone.
Did you believe that when he's told you that before? Believe him? Did you believe him?
No.
Okay.
But now I happened to go on because there was some kids playing on the computer the other night, and so I went on history to make sure that, you know, that nobody went on anything they weren't supposed to. And I found out that he's still looking at pornography, but now it's more of an extreme type.
Let me ask you, is that something acceptable to you?
Never has been.
Okay. Does he know that you found this?
Yes, I confronted him about that night, and he didn't say a word. He just looked at me, and I just talked gently to him about it, and just said, you know, and we need to, this is a problem. You know, we need to talk about it in our marriage. And she never said a word. And then on the fourth day, and she's hardly talked to me, and he sleeps on the couch. And
so it's getting buried. In other words, it's the elephant in the room in this case, Terry, and it goes back to, sounds like, a history where you didn't believe him when he talked to you before and said it wasn't his, and so there's a lack of well, I call it act of respect. Let me just share for you, Terry, and others what I think in this whole case of trustworthiness in marriage. There's different levels, and I talk about there's unthoughtfulness. In marriage, sometimes we're just unthoughtful. You know, you don't put the toilet seat down. You don't park the car in the right place. You're not home in the right. That's just being unthoughtful. And those things need to be confronted as well. You know, those aren't the things that we're going to say, hey, you know, I'm going to really hold you accountable. But we're going to confront those because those are not loving acts. Those are not acts that say I love you and I care for you. But then we get into the whole arena of where our vows are being broken. You know, the cherish and the oneness and all the things that God intends. And I think when those things occur, we've got to get the proverbial cards on the table face up. And there's a little three-step process I write about in Star for Affection. First of all, is to really focus on the present behavior. I mean, what's right in front of you? Be interesting to have that on the screen when your husband walked in, and there it is, to have him respond to actually seeing you seeing it. Now, that's a different level than just saying, hey, I saw this, isn't there? I mean, that would be pretty, guys, wouldn't that be pretty provocative? Wouldn't that be pretty, oops, you walk in, there it is. She sees it, you see it. There's no kids around any longer in the house. There it is. You don't even have to say anything. There it is. It's bold. It's clear. It's offensive. And I think it's clear that we've got to focus on present behavior very specifically. When we say, hey, this kind of behavior is not acceptable. I mean, this is what it does to my spirit. This is what it does to our marriage. There are certain things at a certain level that are not acceptable. Secondly, is to clearly express wants, needs, and desires. I think sometimes we dance around these issues. What is it that's going to be acceptable and not acceptable in your marriage when it comes to these serious matters? There are points where you got to draw a line in the sand and say, this is not acceptable. Abuse is not acceptable. Pornography is not acceptable. Unfaithfulness, these are not things that can be tolerated in a relationship that's going to be honoring God. Now, does that mean there can't be forgiveness? Certainly there can be. And restoration? Certainly. But the ball, and this is step three, the ball goes back onto the spouse's side that says, hey, what are your intentions? I mean, I'm just sharing with you, here it is, here's what's not acceptable and why, and I love you and I want this to work. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of emotion in all of this that we always have to guard against in terms of clouding the discussion, but what's going to happen? What happens too often in our marriages and in relationships in general is things get pushed under the rug and they don't get dealt with, and I'm telling you, things that get buried alive, like emotions, don't die. They just grow, and they get to be more serious. And I think it's important, because I'm an advocate of marriage. I'm an advocate of restoring marriage. I'm an advocate of making marriages work. And I believe that with God's help and God's sustaining power through His Holy Spirit, marriages that are in trouble can be restored, but there has to be a sense of commitment and responsibility and change. I mean, let's just face it. These are the simple things that have to happen, basic things that have to happen to make a marriage work. Hold on, I want to send you my book, Terry, Starve for Affection, and outline a little more for you. What I believe on this, and I believe it's biblical. Hey, listen, I love you guys. I want the best for you. My heart breaks when I hear over and over a brokenness that happens between a man and woman, one standing in front of God and man making a commitment to each other, and then when that breach gets broken, and it does over and over and over in our culture, we know that. Television just seems to be an entertainment process every night. TV just exposes that kind of nonsense, frankly. God has something better for you. You can start today in your marriage, you and your spouse, if you're committed together to do this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I know that. But with God's help, it's possible. Rebuilding trust, it's a commitment to say, I choose today to work on my marriage. We get two people doing that, boy, that's a force to be reckoned with.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rescue.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Fantastic evening. I'm looking forward to it. It's a first for Intentional Living and Family Life Radio as we marry both the music of hope that you hear on the air with Jordan St. Cyr coming to lead us in worship. And by the way, I've asked him to make sure he shares his own story, which I think will be a powerful reminder of God's hope and love and provision. And then I get to bring some words of life from God's word, and in particular, how they apply to living intentionally. Because I have seen in my years of talking to thousands of people, that when we choose to live intentionally, not perfectly, by the way, but just live intentionally, God gets the glory. If that's our goal, God gets the glory. And the spinoff on that, I guess the result is often that we get the benefit. We get a benefit in our marriage, we get a benefit in our health, and a benefit in our finance, our relationships. It doesn't solve all the problems, because life is filled with problems. The Bible teaches that. But boy, we have a purpose and we have a hope and we know where we're headed. So we want you to experience hope. And that's part of living intentionally. We'll be sharing some really powerful words that night as well. So you're going to leave with a lot of hope and music in your heart and worship and some really practical things that you can take away. I always enjoy hearing both, and that's why we're doing this. June 6th, as you heard, June 6th, Haven Church, Glendale, Arizona, for our friends who can come. Tickets are limited. Available space is limited. So check it out today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, you can find the information right on the homepage, I'm sure. and you can get your tickets. And bring some friends with you. You want to have an evening, I promise you, by the way, if you want to bring some couples or some other friends with you that are going to just be encouraged and hear the gospel and have an opportunity to know what it means to have Jesus in their lives as well, that'll be a part of the evening. So come along. It's going to be a great night. Go to theintentionallife.com. Most people are not adequately prepared to respond to their defining moments when they appear. When they come, we're not ready for them. They hit us and we make a decision, and then sometimes we look back. And here's the proof of that. We wouldn't have so many counselors. We wouldn't have the needs for so many self-helps. We wouldn't have so many support groups if, in fact, there wasn't going to be defining moments when people made decisions that took them down a course of regret and loss. And of course, we know all of this at the core is a sinful world in which we live, and the sin nature that we all have that can drag us down. But in these seasons and in these moments when we have to make decisions, I think there's a biblical model for us. Yeah, how to make decisions in those defining moments, or I call them the aha moments, really can be a positive thing. I mean, when you have an aha moment, it's like a light bulb going off in your head. I think you probably have had that, haven't you? At some point, like God reveals something through the Holy Spirit to your life. I sort of like those more than the oh no moments that seem to come out of nowhere. And then you realize it's been a pattern maybe that finally caught up. And so we want you to have more aha moments that become defining moments, that become life change, where God gets the glory and you get the benefit. So that lesson, by the way, is the featured lesson. It's available because of the financial support of so many wonderful people. We are totally 100% listener supported. That's the only reason we can do what we do. Can I invite you to come and join us? Boy, be on this journey with us. Join the mission of reaching people intentionally in Christ. Go to The Intentional Life. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during the business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And when you're at the website, theintentionallife.com, check out the Night of Hope. Love to have you come and be with us in Glendale, Arizona, on June 6th with Jordan St. Cyr and myself. Great evening.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Sonia from Alabama. Listen to your show every day in the afternoon. Just wanted to thank you for being on and for pointing out all the ways that we can be intentional. As far as our marriage goes, my husband and I, we haven't been married very long, but one of the biggest things is we go through these cycles where we'd have a conflict and we'd try to solve it, and it just wouldn't work. It was always a lose-lose situation. So recently, we started going to counseling, and it has helped point out a lot of things, and we've started working on lifting up our marriage and being just very intentional about making this work and doing what God would have us to do. And just wanted to say thank you and have a blessed week.
Well, we're glad to be here. It's a day like today. I wish we had a three-hour show instead of a half hour, because there's got a lot more than we have time for. Candace posted on Facebook on this topic. She says, when you have been betrayed before, how do you rebuild trust in men? For example, when your husband doesn't answer the phone, you know, how do you keep from automatically thinking it's because he's cheating on you? In other words, your mind going into those places. I think many can relate. Maybe Tiffany's on the line with similar kind of a question. Tiffany, welcome. Are you there, Tiffany? Let me see here. Is this Tiffany? Hello.
This is Carolyn.
Okay, Carolyn, I'm sorry we lost Tiffany, but go right ahead, Carolyn.
Okay. I wanted to just tell you, my husband and I have been married about 30 years now, and about 10 years ago, we just really were not getting along. Kind of, it just had always been rocky, and about 10 years ago, we went to the National Institute of Marriage.
Uh-huh.
It was like a 4.5, 5-day intensive where we sat around with two counselors and four other couples, and it was like just group therapy every day,
right.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wonderful. They really taught us how to communicate.
What one thing did you learn that you want to share with someone who can't attend? By the way, they're good people. What's one thing that you'd share with someone who can't go to that kind of intense workshop?
It helped me to focus on me and what I felt, not what I thought my husband was making me feel, but what I felt when we had a conflict. And then he could respond to what I felt rather than him responding to me attacking him because he made me feel so bad.
Yeah, you know, in fact, Carol and I was reading a book last night. It was talking about intentions, interestingly enough, and it was talking about considering the best intentions. I think so often we follow this formula that I've taught over the years. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by what they do or what they say, not by what their intentions are. And if we can expect better intentions from another person and start with that basis, it can be healthy. It can be healthier. Doesn't mean we live in a state of denial when there's facts in front of us, but when we start with good intentions in our minds as opposed to bad intentions from another person, it makes a big difference. That's a good reminder. All right, thank you, Carolyn. Quickly, I want to answer Candace. She asked the question, you know, been betrayed, how do you rebuild trust? You know, there's a scripture that says, set your mind on things above. And I would say to you, Candace, if you're a Christian person, that you set your mind on Christ. What I mean is your mind can be your friend or it can be your enemy. And the scripture says, whatever things are true and right and admirable and praiseworthy, think on such things. We deal with facts when they're in front of us. We deal with the obvious things, and sometimes we ignore those because we don't want to deal with them, but we ought to. They're there. They're facts. But many times we deal with, we deal with a lie that comes from Satan himself at times, sometimes just from our own minds, that get us off track from speaking and looking at the truth. And I would encourage you and everyone, if you've been betrayed and you're trying to rebuild trust, you know, be very clear with your expectations. Be very clear. And I'd say to those who are trying to rebuild their trust that they have broken, hey, listen, be a trustworthy person. If you're going to be home at 5, be home at 5. Call if you're not. Not that you get into bondage, but to the extent that you're willing to show your spouse that you mean business about being trustworthy is going to help in the process of rebuilding trust. Randy Carlson here, thanking you for joining me on Intentional Living today from our center and for our whole team. Because of God's intentional love for us, that in turn we can demonstrate His intentional love to our family and others around us. Find out more at theintentionallife.com and join us next time from the Intentional Living Center.